Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to the Mr. Beacon podcast. We've got a very special, I think significant episode of the show this week. We're going to be talking about 6G, ambient IoT, and this is something that could be a game changer, and there's quite a lot to it, but we have found someone who I think is one of the best equipped people to talk to about it. Amichai Sandorovich works for Wiliot, and he spends his time working on new standards and has got an amazing track record. So I hope you find this useful, and actually hope you find this episode memorable. As solution designers, entrepreneurs, part of our very strange job is trying to predict the future, trying to identify technologies that will be significant. And then we place bets. And the currency is often our own time, our careers, the time of our companies. And 6G ambient IoT is one of these really significant technologies that could alter the course of what we do. Those of us that work in this world of digital physical convergence, auto ID, indoor location, asset tracking, call it what you will. So enjoy it. I hope you find it interesting.
The Mr. Beacon podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, intelligence for everyday things, powered by IoT pixels.
So Amichai, thanks very much for agreeing to speak with me. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Glad to be here.
This is an unusual show. Way back when, years ago, when this podcast started, before I joined Wiliot, all of our interviews were done like this. And then COVID happened and we kind of fell into this remote thing. But I'm here in Israel. You normally work in Israel. It seemed like a great chance to talk to you because I think you're working on some really interesting stuff. And I want to take this opportunity to pick your brains in public, as it were, about what's happening with 6G, which I think is a very important standard. And we'll talk about 5G as well, of course. But before we get into that and how that's impacting IoT, maybe we should start off with you taking a few minutes to introduce yourself and what you do at Wiliot.
Sure. I came to Wiliot from Qualcomm, which I joined after the startup I worked here, Wilocity, was bought like 8 years ago, something like that. In Wiliot,
Just to pause, Wilocity is the company that was a lot of the Wiliot founders were at.
Correct.
And yes. This was kind of working on millimeter wave, right?
Yes.
Super high performance, now part of the 5G standard.
Right. Yes, it was the other side of the standard, if I call it, the high end, high throughput, high cost.
Yes.
Side of things. Yeah. In Wiliot, I used to be the algorithm guy, and also I was a delegate to the standardization.
What does algorithm guy mean? What sort of
so
algorithms?
All the modem algorithms,
oh,
all the beamformings,
okay,
the coding, the acquisition, the PHY, all these
deep tech stuff.
As long as interacting with other groups, like all the other design groups in Velocity, including Analog, there I met Alon, of course.
Alon's our is the Wiliot CTO, right?
CTO, yes. And of course, also relating to all the standardization efforts, mainly IEEE, and also we had a separate SIG to develop all the details, the technical details, which was later converged to the IEEE.
So maybe a way of saying this is we've seen this movie before. You've taken some cutting edge technology and helped to shepherd it into a framework where there are actually standards that took something that was novel and very interesting, but made it open so that lots of people could adopt it.
And exactly. Moderated it into an agreement between many companies.
Okay.
So it's more consensus-based, not a proprietary approach.
And how does that relate to what you're doing now here at Wiliot?
So in Wiliot, we also have a super interesting technology, I think, very innovative. We have a cutting-edge execution and technology, I think, which seems very interesting, I think, for participating in standardization, because at least from my experience, standardization usually benefit a lot by a startup introducing what is possible. Before major companies, the big companies start to execute and be more involved in the standards, they want to see it makes sense. They have a market for it. They have the technical ability to execute it. It's not very very exotic. It needs to be something that it deliverable in time and in production level technology and through all the layers of a real product, numerous approaches or viewpoints like security or accessibility or mobility, legal, marketing, whoever is going to be using this technology needs to understand that there is a complete set of experts supporting it, making sure it's up to specific levels. And we, as a contributor, expect that our experience, both the market and the usage, and of course the technology in the manufacturing, the design, our experience will be exposed to these groups, so they can use it and hopefully benefit from it.
So this is a really interesting point that you're making. And I think, you know, a lot of our viewers are entrepreneurs, solution designers, and it's a bit of a dilemma, isn't it? You on one hand, you seek to develop something that's very unique, where you're very differentiated, where you have an advantage against your competitors. But what you appear to be doing is executing a strategy where all of that advantage is given away.
Yes, it's the classic dilemma of a business. Do you want to give some away or you want to keep everything to yourself?
Yes.
And usually, this is something I think Tal has taught me very well.
So he's the Wiliot CEO, one of the co-founders, right? Yes. Along with Alon and Yaron.
Correct. And usually when you share your knowledge, others can benefit you as well, because they provide you with solutions or complementary issues or problems that you are not fully aware of, that they can supplement your design, and then you can propose to a customer a much more complete solution. It guarantees for a customer that a long-term support for for the technology is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. It guarantees more widespread adoption, which allows for lowering the cost and providing a better longevity and future design or future products will support also this device that you have. It's much more complete customer yeah. offering than compared to if you keep everything to yourself, then you don't have all these also the feedback from other companies, the technical guys from other company significantly enhance the quality.
Yeah. So it's a fascinating thing, because as a business development sales guy in the past, I've focused so much on here's our advantage, but you know what I've seen, it's been 5 years at Wiliot, and really no one is where Wiliot is in terms of battery-free Bluetooth, computer the size of a postage stamp, range, sensing, security. But what I've seen is one of the challenges is when you're that far ahead, the lack of competition actually holds you back. This is a technology that can completely transform enterprises, use cases, even industries. But it's not going to happen if people have to entrust a 150-person company, even though they're backed by Amazon and SoftBank and so forth. It's just not going to happen. And so I, even though it seems really weird to be giving up all of this advantage, all this insight, all this experience, all the product of a lot of risk-taking, it's time to kind of, if this technology is to cross the chasm, then you have to acknowledge, yeah, we're going to go from the innovators and the early adopters, the kind of the early players in the Geoffrey Moore crossing the chasm paradigm. If we're going to get to the early majority, then we have to essentially eliminate the risks. And you do that by bringing in large companies, having them think it through, add the benefit of their experience. So let's agree that we're doing the right thing, opening all this secret sauce up and spreading it around. Mm-hmm. What's the mechanism to do that? So who are the standards bodies that you're working with?
So currently there are other companies that are very interested in this and are promoting exactly the same use cases we are seeing mm-hmm. or we are envisioning. Through two standardization body, actually the two largest standardizations. One is the 3GPP, mm-hmm. which is the standardization which is responsible for the cellular world, starting from 2G, 3G, going now to 5G, mm-hmm. Including all the network, the backend network supporting it, including all the security aspects and the mobility handover, the global deployments and the interstate issues, regulatory issues, all these aspects, and connecting to the network, the services, the applications.
So 3GPP, the third generation partnership or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, third generation partnership project.
Partnership project. They're the folks that defined 3G, 4G, 5G, and then 6G is kind of in an inevitability, I guess.
Yes.
And what you're saying is that there are other members of that. Wiliot's a member now, thanks to you and Alon. So you're kind of going back to some of the folks maybe that you worked with in the past, but we're not the only ones that are thinking of these use cases.
Correct.
What's the umbrella term for these use cases? What are they being called?
They are termed the ambient IoT.
Ambient IoT.
Yes. This is an umbrella name for all very, very low power, low cost tags or devices that can be connected to a free GPP network, which will provide you with a global coverage, actually. And all the use cases we are dealing with as well, on top of others, like logistics centers, supply chains, manufacturing, shopping, agriculture, even Find Me with a smaller scale.
Right. So rather than Find My Phone, it might be Find My Passport, Find My Wallet, Find My Medicine, Find My Jacket. So this technology is sort of going down to the item level. So if we kind of look at the standards that have existed, because this isn't the first time that 3GPP and 5G has looked at IoT, right?
Correct.
We've had, what can you just name where we are in that IoT evolution?
So one of the main items for 5G, if you recall, was the IoT. And there are two main features for IoT. One is the NB-IoT, and the second one is the reduced cap IoT.
Okay, so NB-IoT, narrowband IoT.
Narrowband IoT.
What is narrowband IoT?
Yeah, so this is actually, it's very similar to reduced capability devices, which are basically taking the cellular modem and shrinking it and reducing its capability in order for it to meet lower cost.
Right.
And they enable, but it's not guaranteeing anywhere sticker form factor. It's not right. near.
These are kind of phone-sized devices, correct. Basically, but probably a little more efficient in using the network.
Correct. And a, so little they, bit, a little bit more efficient and a little bit less costly, but still it's a long gap to the zero cost, what we called here.
So you're talking about a device that is many tens of dollars, probably $100 or so. That's progress, I guess. That was progress. That was an important step forward. And in my mind, those NB-IoT devices were good for integrating into containers, shipping containers, and who knows, even appliances and cars and things like that. But it seems like what you're working on now is actually connecting with the things that are in the shipping containers, the products that are in the appliances, the refrigerators, the washing machines, the things that are inside the car, the parts, and that sort of thing. Is that a reasonable?
Correct.
What was the other standard that you were talking about? Reduced capability or?
Reduced capability, it's another. So NB-IoT is one set of properties, and the second one is reduced capability, which also takes standard modem where we all have in our phones, and significantly reducing its capability to make it cheaper.
Okay.
So we can deploy it. It won't cost as much as a phone modem. And properly being able to reduce the cost will make enable it to be deployable with more devices like sensors in industry where we need to put a sensor up a chimney, for example. It's not sticker form factor.
Right.
Anywhere near, but it's still reasonable for a sensor to use this.
So it's a step on the way to being able to get to ambient IoT, which is, well, what is ambient IoT? How would you define it?
So ambient IoT is taking the extra step from the ANB IoT or the reduced cap, which enable truly almost zero cost. Zero cost sticker form factor, something closer to RFID stickers, which is significantly different than what ANB IoT or reduced capability currently enable in the 5G. So in order to enable this huge market, a significant technical changes needs to be adopted by the 3GPP, which will differentiate it from the NB-IoT.
So you mentioned RFID, these sticker form factor technology. RFID exists today. There's a set of standards that support them. Why would 3GPP bother to look at something that's already out there? It works.
Good question. Basically, our end product is very similar in size to RFID indeed, mm-hmm. and also the information coming out of the tag is very similar. There are several issues with the RFID tags. First of all, it's a very old technology. It's like mm-hmm. more than 20 years on the market. Mm-hmm. But it keeps progressing. They have more markets. But they have a specific market because there is a need for a very sophisticated reader mm-hmm. in order to read these tags. The reader must be very close mm-hmm. to the tag, mm-hmm. few meters, no mm-hmm. more. And it's very expensive. I mean, it's not something that you can deploy in a huge logistics center.
Yes.
Without a very significant cost to the additional cost. And it's basically a little bit different. I mean, it's not like cellular when you can envision wide deployment and wide coverage. The RFID has a much smaller coverage, mm-hmm. local usage more.
Kind of because the tags are pretty low cost, but the infrastructure is really quite expensive. You're talking about hundreds, thousands, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars and then maybe even millions if you're going to blanket and have kind of continuous real-time visibility coverage everywhere.
Yes.
So it seems like RFID has made progress. It's kind of probably the closest thing that we've got to this vision of IoT. But it's kind of got stuck because of the technology's cost. It seems like it's there at choke points. You know, you can get an expensive handheld reader, but it's a proprietary device. It doesn't do anything else. Seems like with 3GPP, given that their technology is in the phones and it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Then potentially what this does it has readers of sticker-sized, let's call it auto ID technology, automatically identifying technology that can give a unique ID to assets that could be everywhere, anywhere, in everyone's pockets, eventually built into cars and appliances. So
yes,
that's a pretty exciting prospect. I mean, this could change the world, right?
I agree. It's something that many companies are looking at. And everybody understand and acknowledge the gap between the NB-IoT, mm-hmm. which is very low-cost infrastructure but very high-cost device. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the RFID has a very cost-effective tags, but the infrastructure is very expensive. Mm-hmm. So this gap where you need reasonable infrastructure, but also reasonable price tags, is something that now 3GPP is looking at.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And, you know, if we look at the RFID industry, there's some pretty big deployments, but it's not ubiquitous, is it? It's, and there's a student of this space, I kind of look at all the effort that goes in on an RFID deployment to prove the return on investment, and it has to be just out of the park good in order for this technology to be developed. And my perspective on, you know, the progression of 3G, 4G, 5G, 6G, there's almost an inevitability about it. And I think, I mean, some of the reasons are pretty obvious. You have some of the largest companies in the world. Phone companies tend to be very, very large. And they have big advertising budgets. And these devices that they provide the technology for, they've got a some kind of replacement cycle. So it seems like there's an almost inevitability about a technology that ends up in that basket of ideas, of tools, that it's just going to happen. And that's kind of what you want when you're building an infrastructure that's going to transform the world. It's not like we don't look at the ROI around a highway to get from one side of the states to another. It's just infrastructure that's there. And that's what enables commerce. And it seems like this is the potential of this. So you can probably tell I'm very excited. Where are we now in this process? What are the stages that we have to go through before we don't have to think about it and we can just have tags that are virtually free, talking to devices that are already there? What's
what the stages are?
Yeah.
So 3GPP now is in the process of starting this. So they're issuing a technical reviews about the technology, where they have concern about the technical possibility of achieving this widespread adoption. So they're carefully checking every item and see how can this be resolved in our standards, in the 3GPP standard. By the end of next year, probably middle of next year, there will be the technical report, including the normative text. Once this report is made up, it goes to all the other groups, which is the security group, the mobility assessment access group, the core network group, the RAN group, the radio access group. Each of these groups start to work on the specific item which relates to its expertise, mm-hmm. and how they are going to implement this feature, if any, if it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can conclude it's not possible, I don't
mm-hmm.
know. So this is the process. Now there are two relevant releases. 3GPP works not on 5G or 6G, but on releases.
Okay. So this 5G thing is really just a marketing term?
It's a GSMA forum, which okay. markets the technology as 5G, 6G, IoT.
Okay.
So once the requirements are established in the release 18 and 19 or 20, then GSMA will issue a marketing brand, 6G, 5G.
Right.
Usually the feature are not like, it's not getting in a specific release. It start in a specific release. Second release adds more enablers. So it's a process.
Okay. So what release are we on at the moment?
So 2024 should have release 18 at the market product.
Okay.
So now we are in the process of closing release 18.
Okay.
Release 19 is expected 2026. Product in the market. So now the definition and requirements and specification goes for release 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
There are two working items for this ambient IoT. In release 18, there is a working item for the, there is a study item for the RAN group that try to understand if it's reasonable to include something in release 18 already for the RAN.
Mm-hmm.
RAN is the radio access network. So
those are the base stations, the cell towers
yes.
that we see by the motorway.
The actual connection between the base station and the phone is RAN.
Okay.
And then this group starts to study, probably, it's not confirmed yet, but study the how ambient IoT RAN will be, can be used. Can be defined.
Okay.
And the other activity is the SA1, the group, which is the more general This is intended for release 19, which means we define KPI for the downstream groups, like I said, mobility, security, core network, study item, for them to start work on this feature for release 19.
Okay. So it seems like there's standards and technology that can go into base stations, and there's going to be components that will go into handsets and mobile devices.
Correct.
And if I'm hearing you properly, there's a possibility that base stations could maybe talk to tags.
Correct.
And handsets, yes, could talk to tags as well.
There are discussions of these also as well. I'm not sure where it's going.
Yes.
But of course, it will need to be supported also by the core network.
Right.
Because the service which is provided by the tags, it's not a regular service that a user from, yes, the phone. It's a different service.
Well, this is really important. And I think, you know, when I'm the marketing guy, so I try and make everything simple. We talk about battery-free Bluetooth tags. We've in production of version 2. It works. It scales. The thing, you know, just costs pennies. And people very often say, that's a great pitch. I'd like to buy some. And then we say, oh, well, but there's also these cloud components and you need to have these other low-cost Bluetooth devices. They only cost a few dollars, but you need those. And so even with our technology, which is in production and scaling, we're making millions of these tags every month. We're taking purchase orders for hundreds of millions of these things.
Yes.
It's more than just a tag, is what I'm taking a long time to say. But so I'm kind of excited because I think it's the other bit. Everyone gets the tag, but the thing that slows people down is, oh, I've got to have cloud services. Oh, I need to have some software that's running on the Wi-Fi access point. And even though the Wi-Fi access point guys, they're, you know, Williot's been working with all of them. So all that's happening, it's, you know, very much for Williot, and it doesn't allow you to have a multi-vendor solution. So the thing that excites me is kind of the boring bits, but the bits that really allow the scale, which is beyond the tag. We proved that you can have a tag that's secure, that can sense, that's very low cost. But we know that it's the infrastructure that slows things down. And what I'm hearing is that you telco guys are really good at infrastructure, right?
3GPP, one of the main advantages of 3GPP is the ability to enable it across the entire service, network, all the features, the billing, everything is included. So you get a very good coverage and support for this feature across many, many, you can get devices supporting it without even knowing the name Williot. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yes.
So you sort of referenced you know, if this technology works question, but you and I know this technology does work because we've seen it on, yes, customer sites, and we know that we've got huge backlog of orders for it and so forth. So does that does that help the process?
I hope so. One of the main motivations, I think, for us to join these standardization meetings is to show that it can be done, that it works. This is one example how we did it. There are maybe improvements that other companies can suggest, but it can be done, it can work.
Yeah.
There is no... we have expert in our company from the antennas to the digital backend and to the cloud services and the data analysis. And the fact that we are all in the same company at the same site enable us to deliver real optimizations and real...
Yes.
I don't know how we say it, a real compromise from each other to make it work.
Yes.
Which are harder for larger companies, so...
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. In a sense, it would be very hard for a very large company to do what we as a small company have done. Our strength is almost our smallness in size, and, yes, the fact that there's been this compelling vision and everyone has had to work together. There's very little politics here. It's like, how can we get, yes, this to work? So hopefully, right, that will help to work as a catalyst to his, maybe it's not, we're not saying it's going to be done our way.
Of course.
There'll be other ideas, hopefully ideas that will make what we're doing better.
Correct.
But the question of does it work, can it work, is not really a question. It can work, it can scale. Can it be improved? Quite probably.
Of course.
Quite hopefully.
Yes.
It will, and it will change, and we'll hopefully use the Brains Trust, which is this incredibly powerful organization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've covered a lot. I think we should probably wrap it up now, unless this is there anything else that you think we should have talked about just to kind of inform people?
So there is another major standardization, which we mentioned at the beginning, which is the IEEE.
Ah.
IEEE is responsible for the entire internet, wireless internet, which is another very big standardization, which is also started to look on this ambient IoT.
Mm-hmm.
It's called AMP, ambient power devices, which is also looking on this. And maybe there will be also a standard there that supports this form factor. Need to see if it's also...
How does that play out, though? Do you potentially have incompatible standards between IEEE?
Yes. Eventually, your product needs to choose which one to go.
Okay.
Yes.
So a bit of competition in the standards area.
It's good.
That's probably a good thing.
Yes, I agree.
Very good. Excellent. So, Amichai, have you had a chance to think about your three favorite songs?
Favorite songs. It was a very... difficult exercise.
I imagine it's one of the more difficult things you've had to do today.
I think so. Yeah, I imagine so. But I did manage to come up with three.
Excellent. What are they?
So, first one is Mr. Blue Sky, you know?
I do. ELO, Electric Light Orchestra.
Yes.
One of my favorite albums.
Yes, yes. Mine too.
Any reason why?
It's kind of very... connecting music. I mean, it's very melodic.
Yes.
But also very good vibes.
Yeah.
It's like
positive.
Positive. Very. Yeah. Comes from a very deep place, I guess, when you are looking up.
Yeah.
And you see, and you see the positive things. So
that's really good.
Yeah.
It always reminds me of my grandmother, who I used to help her. I helped her decorate her apartment when I was a teenager. And, she bought me that album as
really?
A thank you. So thank you for, it means something to me too.
It's nice. Yeah, it's an old one.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure. Okay, so that's number one. Number two?
Number one. The number two is the Metallica.
Ah.
Yeah, it's its name? The Nothing Else Matters.
Okay. I have to say you're on your own there. I respect metal, but I'm not particularly conversant with it. But,
yeah.
Any reason for that one?
I think it's a very energetic and also a bit more personal. It's not like noise, but there are some personal things there that I can relate to.
Okay. The lyrics?
The lyrics.
All right.
Yes.
What are the lyrics about?
It's nothing else matter. It's like, you know, a personal stuff that you are in. You need to convince yourself that you are the one that's important and everything else is noise. And you need to, like, this is my understanding.
Believe in yourself sort of thing?
Believe in yourself, yeah. Believe in the things that you are important and the things you are. Feeling is important, yeah.
Very, yeah. That's excellent. I can see why you chose it. And number three?
And number three is totally different. It's Rihanna.
Okay.
I also like her music.
Uh-huh.
And she has the Love on the Brain, you know the song?
Uh-huh. I'm actually not super familiar with it, no.
Yeah. She also has like a nice touch to the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
And Love on the Brain is like a little bit strange, you know, love on the brain.
Yeah.
Not live on the body.
Okay. Cerebral, in your mind.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yes.
Thanks. Well, thanks for sharing those three songs.
Among a lot of others.
Really? Yeah. So you're into music generally?
I like music, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know how to sing or to play anything, but it makes me even like it more.
I'm in the same boat. I used to sing in the choir when I was a kid. My voice broke and never again. I remember singing on my during my bachelor party, and even when everyone was terribly drunk, it was clear that I was causing a lot of pain to everyone around them.
So the people around you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Well, Amichai, thanks so much. I really enjoyed this. It's a very interesting time. Anyone that's into technology, I think this is a huge opportunity, whether you're working for a major corporation that wants to think about how will my business model change when everything I use and sell can be connected to the internet. It's a huge opportunity for the software developers. Suddenly, your software can talk to everything. Every syringe, pill vial, vaccine vial, food container. I think consultants, systems integrators. And the thing that really makes me excited is we've seen what an impact this can make on the world. You know, we see that when you turn the light on, which is effectively what you're doing when you connect everything, you can spot massive inefficiencies, you can spot safety issues. So my hope is that the work that you're participating in takes us to a world that is more environmentally sustainable, because we're wasting less, where products are safer, where there's less theft, less leakage, is the euphemism. So I think it's really exciting. Well, I'm going to make a point of checking in with you on a regular basis as we do this. And I just want to give a shout out. If anyone is interested in what you've heard, you want to learn more, then Williot's going to be at the big telco meeting that is coming up in a few days after this goes out in Las Vegas, Mobile World Congress. And then there's another even bigger meeting in Barcelona, MWC in Barcelona, early 2024. And we'll be presenting on a lot of the material that we've described, but we're going to be doing it with some help from our friends at ABI, a very respected analyst organization. They'll be talking about the market size, basically the Internet of Trillions. They'll be talking about some of the use cases, and we'll also have some folks from Deloitte there that are going to be talking about the process. What should companies do to get ready for all this? So, if you can, join us there. If you can't, then watch out for a white paper that we're going to be collaborating on that documents a lot of what we've talked about. And there's also going to be a podcast. So a lot of information coming out. I think it's worth dipping into it because this is a huge opportunity for the whole world, really.
I agree. It's like the next transformation.
Very good. Amichai, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
So, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I got a huge amount out of that conversation. I think we covered a lot of ground. So thanks for sticking with us, listening to the end. If you've had to listen through some advertisements, and many of you, if you're listening on iTunes and Spotify and so forth, you may have to put up with that. It's part of the deal with our distribution platform. They play adverts, they get money, and actually we get some money, but we actually give all of the money away, at least whilst I'm working at Williot. My pledge is to give all our advertising revenue money away to a charity called Monarch Schools, the Monarch School, which is for kids who are homeless here in San Diego, which is where I am. That interview, as you can probably tell, is not our normal location. It was in Williot's office in Israel. So, thanks again. Speak to you, at least I will speak to you, and look forward to your engagement next time.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.